Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. A warm welcome to those who have joined us this evening in the church auditorium, on the listen line, and those who have connected via Zoom. The members of this church pray for and expect healing. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 290. Press on, press on, ye sons of light, untiring in your holy fight, still treading each temptation down, and battling for a brighter crown. Hymn number 290. The Bible, James. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. 2 Timothy. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. Luke. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. And Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him. And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and said, Take this, and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed. And when he rose up from prayer, and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow, and said unto them, Why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. And while he yet spake, behold, a multitude, and he that was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, and drew near unto Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said unto him, Judas, betrayest thou the Son of Man with a kiss? When they which were about him saw what would follow, they said unto him, Lord, shall we smite with the sword? And one of them smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And Jesus answered and said, Suffer ye thus far. And he touched his ear and healed him. Mark. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And now when the even was come, because it was the preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited for the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body of Jesus. And he bought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulchre, which was hewn out of a rock, and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulchre. Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast 7 devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Second Peter. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. 1 Corinthians. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, such are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this incorruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Isaiah. O Lord, thou art my God. I will exalt thee. I will praise thy name, for thou hast done wonderful things. Thy counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. For thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. And he will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of the people shall he take away from off all the earth, for the Lord hath spoken it. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God, we have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. First Chronicles. Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great, and to give strength unto all. Now therefore we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. First John. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I shall now read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The Christian martyrs were prophets of Christian science. Through the uplifting and consecrating power of divine truth, they obtained a victory over the corporeal senses, a victory which science alone can explain. There is too much animal courage in society and not sufficient moral courage. Christians must take up arms against error at home and abroad. They must grapple with sin in themselves and in others, and continue this warfare until they have finished their course. If they keep the faith, they will have the crown of rejoicing. The Passover, which Jesus ate with his disciples in the month Nisan on the night before his crucifixion, was a mournful occasion. A sad supper taken at the close of day, in the twilight of a glorious career with shadows fast falling around. And this supper closed forever Jesus' ritualism or concessions to matter. His followers, sorrowful and silent, anticipating the hour of their master's betrayal, partook of the heavenly manna, which of old had fed in the wilderness the persecuted followers of truth. Their bread indeed came down from heaven. It was the great truth of spiritual being, healing the sick and casting out error. Their master had explained it all before, and now this bread was feeding and sustaining them. They had borne this bread from house to house, breaking, explaining it to others, and now it comforted themselves. For this truth of spiritual being, their master was about to suffer violence and drain to the dregs his cup of sorrow. He must leave them with the great glory of an everlasting victory overshadowing him. He gave thanks and said, "Drink ye all of it." The spiritual meeting with our Lord in the dawn of a new light is the morning meal which Christian Scientists commemorate. They bow before Christ, truth, to receive more of his reappearing and silently to commune with the divine principle, love. They celebrate their Lord's victory over death, his probation in the flesh after death, its exemplification of human probation, and his spiritual and final ascension above matter or the flesh when he rose out of material sight. Love must triumph over hate. Truth and life must seal the victory over error and death before the thorns can be laid aside for a crown. The benediction follow, "Well done, good and faithful servant," and the supremacy of spirit be demonstrated. His disciples believed Jesus to be dead while he was hidden in the sepulcher, whereas he was alive, demonstrating within the narrow tomb the power of spirit to overrule mortal material sense. There were rock-ribbed walls in the way, and a great stone must be rolled from the cave's mouth. But Jesus vanquished every material obstacle, overcame every law of matter, and stepped forth from his gloomy resting place, crowned with the glory of a sublime success and everlasting victory. Our Master fully and finally demonstrated divine science in his victory over death and the grave. Jesus' deed was for the enlightenment of men and for the salvation of the whole world from sin, sickness, and death. Paul writes, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the seeming death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." 3 days after his bodily burial, he talked with his disciples. The persecutors had failed to hide immortal truth and love in a sepulcher. We think that we are healed when a disease disappears, though it is liable to reappear. But we are never thoroughly healed until the liability to be ill is removed. So-called mortal mind, or the mind of mortals, being the remote, predisposing, and the exciting cause of all suffering, the cause of disease must be obliterated through Christ in divine science, or the so-called physical senses will get the victory. God requires perfection, but not until the battle between spirit and flesh is fought and the victory won. If you venture upon the quiet surface of error and are in sympathy with error, what is there to disturb the waters? What is there to strip off error's disguise? If you launch your bark upon the ever agitated but healthful waters of truth, you will encounter storms. Your good will be evil spoken of. This is the cross. Take it up and bear it, for through it you win and wear the crown. When examined in the light of divine science, mortals present more than is detected upon the surface, since inverted thoughts and erroneous beliefs must be counterfeits of truth. Thought is borrowed from a higher source than matter, and by reversal, errors serve as waymarks to the one mind in which all error disappears in celestial truth. The robes of spirit are white and glistering like the raiment of Christ. Even in this world, therefore, let thy garments be always white. Blessed is the man that endureth, overcometh temptation, for when he is tried, proved faithful, we shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. James 1, 12. Our material human theories are destitute of science. The true understanding of God is spiritual. It robs the grave of victory. It destroys the false evidence that misleads thought and points to other gods or other so-called powers, such as matter, disease, sin, and death, superior or contrary to the one spirit. Death is but another phase of the dream that existence can be material. Nothing can interfere with the harmony of being, nor end the existence of man in science. If man is never to overcome death, why do the scriptures say, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death"? The tenor of the word shows that we shall obtain the victory over death in proportion as we overcome sin. The great difficulty lies in ignorance of what God is. God, life, truth, and love make man undying. Immortal mind, governing all, must be acknowledged as supreme in the physical realm, so called, as well as in the spiritual. To put down the claim of sin, you must detect it, remove the mask, point out the illusion, and thus get the victory over sin, and so prove its unreality. The sick are not healed merely by declaring there is no sickness, but by knowing that there is none. Christian scientists must live under the constant pressure of the apostolic command to come out from the material world and be separate. They must renounce aggression, oppression, and the pride of power. Christianity, with the crown of love upon her brow, must be their queen of life. Right and wrong, truth and error, will be at strife in the minds of students until victory rests on the side of invincible truth. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law of mortal belief, at war with the facts of immortal life, even with the spiritual law which says to the grave, "Where is thy victory?" But when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." For victory over a single sin, we give thanks and magnify the Lord of hosts. What shall we say of the mighty conquest over all sin? A louder song, sweeter than has ever before reached high heaven, now rises clearer and nearer to the great heart of Christ. For the accuser is not there, and love sends forth her primal and everlasting strain. Let's join together for a few moments of silent prayer, followed by the audible repetition of the Lord's Prayer. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Our second hymn is number 59. Fight the good fight with all thy might. Christ is thy strength, and Christ thy right. Lay hold on life, and it shall be thy joy and crown eternally. Thy joy and crown eternally. Hymn number 59. This church is a branch of the Mother Church, the First Church of Christ Scientists in Boston, Massachusetts. Sunday services are held here at 10:30 a.m. Sunday school is held at the same time for children up to the age of 20. Child care is lovingly provided for all those too young for Sunday school. The discovery today, where hearts catch fire, is the theme of this year's upcoming annual meeting. This year's annual meeting will be held on Monday, June 5th at 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time in the Mother Church Extension. If you are attending in person, you're encouraged to register by tomorrow, May 25th. For more information, including how to attend online, go to carmelcs.org and click on the Events tab. You also have another opportunity that I just found today on my email. Dear friends, you are lovingly invited to join your Christian Science family at Fifth Church of Christ Scientist in participating in the Mother Church annual meeting on Monday, June 5th from 1 to 3 p.m. A large screen will be set up in our auditorium to view the live video webcast of this important meeting. Doors will open at 12:30. We look forward to uniting with our extended Christian Science family in support of the 2023 annual meeting and its theme, The Discovery Today, Where Hearts Catch Fire. All are warmly invited to attend this event. Lovingly, Fifth Church of Christ Scientist Board of Directors. This is now your time to share experiences, testimonies, or remarks on Christian Science. If you have joined via Zoom this evening and wish to share, unmute yourself, and then remember to mute yourself when you are finished. If you are in the church auditorium and wish to share, just give the usher a wave and someone will bring you a microphone.
Thank you for the readings from the desk. I had an opportunity this weekend to have a victory over a gentleman that yelled at me, but my first reaction wasn't very good. But when I got home, I was able to calm down and got a quote from my wife and was wonderful. So I was roughing a game with junior high girls, and a couple things happened, and I carded a girl, which was appropriate. And then as I went over to explain it to the coaches, a coach yelled at me some things I didn't appreciate. So I carded him, and then he yelled some things I really didn't appreciate him, and I red carded him, and he went nuts at that point. And I came close at that point. I was so upset that I came very, very close to just calling the game and walking off the field. But I realized that wouldn't be the right thing for the girls or for me. So I tried to calm down and get through the rest of the game. When I got done with the game, not necessarily Christianly Scientific, I called my wife and I said, I need to come home and love on my pup so I can get rid of this, because I had a bigger game at 1 o'clock that afternoon, which is about an hour and a half or hour and 40 minutes after that happened. And so when I got home, my wife handed me a card that she had gotten, I believe, off of Spirit View. And it said, don't nurse it, don't rehearse it, give it to God and let him reverse it. And that hit home. And what I realized was I needed to love this gentleman better than I had been loving him. I need to love him completely and see him as a perfect idea of God, which I was not doing. And I need to see myself as not a person that wears his feelings on his sleeves and gets upset when things like this happen. And I need to give it to God and let him deal with it, put it totally in God's hands. It was still nice to get loved on by the buddy, but that's a different story. So I then went and had my next game, and I literally took the card that Shirley gave me and read it multiple times before the game, and really, which I had said before the game, the youth games, but I tried to make sure I was letting God go before me and maketh my way perfect. That game went very, very well. And the thing that I was really proud of was, I have a habit sometimes of talking too much on the field. In this game, I said absolutely nothing except what was necessary. So I was proud of that, and I knew that that meant I was getting closer to having a victory over that situation. Christian Science is a wonderful way of life, and I love every moment.
Thank you.
I just want to express my gratitude for something I didn't even know I was going to talk about tonight. But as I'm sitting and standing here thinking about all the things I should be grateful for, as many of you know, I had a issue in my basement when I came back from a trip. And so I called the people, and they came right out and took care of everything. And they were just doing a really great job. And so then we started working with the insurance company. And a lot of that is very foreign to me because my husband used to do all that. And so I was kind of waiting for them to call me, but I guess I'm supposed to call them, even though I had sent in some information and I'd already talked to one person. And I just thought, well, he'll tell everybody to call me. And then I just kept looking. I'm like, they're not calling me back. I don't understand this. So anyway, this kind of went on because then what they did was communicate only through, forgot what they called it, but it's a communication line. I didn't even know they had a communication line. It's like you don't even call in and talk to the people anymore. It's just words back and forth in an email, basically. And so I'm sure they kept wondering, like, why isn't this woman calling us? And you know, and I kept thinking, why aren't they calling me? So anyway, long story short, I finally let go of it. I really did. And it was such a good feeling to be able to let go of that. And I thought, well, this will all work out. Everybody at the insurance company knows what they need to do. So they'll probably get in touch with me. And I've tried to get in touch, and I got in touch a couple times, but it just kind of dropped off again. Anyway, so I just thought, yeah, they'll get in touch with me. And that was January 27th when I found the water in the basement. And tomorrow they're coming to put new carpet down. And so I think my lesson was patience and being loving and not being the kind of person who would call and chew somebody out. I can't imagine doing that. anyway, so it's all worked out really well. And I'm just so grateful for all of that. There was no need for any kind of rumination just worrying about what's going to happen, what's the next step. And people were getting in touch with me, especially the people here in Indianapolis. So I'm very grateful, and that was a very good and heartfelt lesson that I learned about remaining calm and just being patient. So thank you so much. I loved your lesson tonight.
Thank you.
In the lesson this week, the word generations is mentioned. I wish I could quote it. Is there anyone that can quote it? But it just came to thought that it, well, what came to thought was it caused me to think back. And years ago, my grandmother in New York City visited a Christian Science reading room. And then when she married, and she and her husband had five daughters, the daughters were dropped off at the Christian Science church where they lived. And then following beyond that, obviously, one of the daughters had need of a healing. And after she had a healing, well, when she had the need for a healing, she knew to call a Christian Science practitioner. And then from that point, that was my mother, and we were all taken to the Christian Science Sunday School. And obviously there have been many blessings by applying what one is learning about Christian Science. And I think it would be interesting for each one that's either here or listening to think, trace back in their situation where the introduction of Christian Science came to that first generation that found Christian Science. And it also brings the question, what if there had not been a Christian Science reading room in New York City where my grandmother went in and visited it? And then it, obviously, where would we be if there hadn't been a church where the children were taken to go to Sunday school? Or where would the experience be if there hadn't been a Christian Science practitioner? So it's interesting to ask each one to just think in their own experience how Christian Science was introduced to them, and then how following it along, how important, and it may be just a simple thing like visiting a Christian Science reading room, or it may be a simple thing of calling a Christian Science practitioner, or a simple thing that there was a Sunday school. And so it's just interesting to reflect on that thought of where when you're reading the lesson again tomorrow, you'll find that word generation or generations, and may cause you to reflect on how important each element in your family's experience was in order to bring Christian Science to you. Thank you for your lesson. I'm grateful for Christian Science.
Thank you. Okay, I found it. Throughout all generations, both before and after the Christian era, the Christ as a spiritual idea, the reflection of God, has come with some measure of power and grace to prepare to receive Christ's truth. That's at the beginning of section 5 in the Science and Health. Sure. It's page 333. Throughout all generations, both before and after the Christian era, the Christ, as the spiritual idea, the reflection of God, has come with some measure of power and grace to prepare to receive Christ's truth. Exactly what you're talking about. We've all been prepared at some point in time for when it was the right time for us to have that. And honestly, I've thought a lot about that myself. Well, I was very fortunate. I knew all four of my grandparents and three of my great-grandmothers. So I know that my great-grandmother on my mother's side of the family was a Christian Scientist. And she passed away in 1960 at 90 years old. So you figure, you know, she could have had, well, I'm sure she herself did not have any connections to Mrs. Eddy, but someone in her lifetime could have had a connection to Mrs. Eddy, and it would be interesting to know. And I've often wondered if the Mother Church has ever thought that there might be a way for us to go back and research our own genealogies within the church to see, like I could go back and see, if I could find my great-grandmother's name as a member of the Mother Church at some point in time. Anyway, I agree with you. I think it's very interesting. And I don't know of any real, I shouldn't say real, I don't know of any specific healing that took place, but I do, what? Our great-grandmother was? My brother just told me our great-grandmother was healed of milk disease. Okay, so anyway, it would be interesting to know that. Thank you.
Thank you so much for the lesson tonight, and I'm so grateful for the testimonies that have been given, speaking to my heart. And I was especially moved by your lesson and your readings of the Christ as he was preparing to, as he knew to go on the Christ, but knowing that what his journey was and what the Father had in store for him. And I love how Mrs. Eddy talks about the Christ being the voice of good, voicing good. Mm-hmm. And everything is coming at us that seems anything but good. This idea in your first hymn, Press On, Press On, you know how vitally important it is to stick with the good. The good is the truth. The good is the reality. The good is present right here, right now. And we can know it, we can feel it, we can be it because it's true. And that's just what made your lesson so important to me tonight, to just be reminded of the Christ journey. And how very meaningful. I also would like to express gratitude. Gloria and I went to an interfaith activity last night, and it was at St. George Greek Orthodox Church in Fishers. And the priest welcomed, and church members, they have ushers, like we have ushers. And it was a wonderfully sweet, delightful welcoming committee that welcomed us all in with just such love and such kindness and grace. And it was also the Fishers Interfaith Group as well. And so it was a really nice number of folks sitting there listening to this father talk about his faith and his tradition, which of course he loved and was everything in his world. And everyone in the audience was invited to ask questions, and the questions made the event so meaningful because they were so intelligent and so thoughtful and so loving and so gracious. And who knows what, you know, where all these individuals were coming from, but there was nothing but love being expressed. There was nothing but goodness being expressed. And when I left last night, I was just so grateful for these interfaith opportunities where we may not agree with, we may not understand, we may not have a clue of what someone is and where they are on their journey, but we're loving each other and we're upholding each other and we're respecting and honoring each other and appreciating the good that is there. And it just filled my heart, you know. It made me so grateful that we've opened our church and that we're doing it others as we might have others do unto us if we were in a situation where we were needing a place for worship. And so I was just grateful for the good. And that good just reverberates out. It not only blesses us, but it blesses all mankind. Thank you again for the lesson.
Thank you. And thank you all. Let's close our service by singing hymn number 292. This is the second verse. For his is the greatness, the power, and the glory. The victory his when for succor we call. His majesty shines in creation's wondrous story, and he is exalted as head over all. Hymn number 292.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the Listen Line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.